Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason, here with life coach Linda Armstrong, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. And Linda, we got a little bit of email over last week's show that I have to share with you and with our listeners, including one from Barbie, another one from Sarah. Barbie went crazy writing this long, really nice email. So you'll have to give me a few minutes to read through it here. But
sure, yeah.
She says, first of all, Linda, Friday's episode was so insightful. Thank you for sharing continuously. You probably feel as though it's elementary or you've shared the same perspective repeatedly, but I appreciate the consistency in your message. She says, it takes a while to understand and accept thoughts that had been foreign to the way I was programmed for the first 30 years of my life. Freeing me of a ritualistic daily routine obligation and reminding and encouraging Walt, the energy is flowing even from the podcast audience, was spot on. I can't always listen live, and there are some episodes that that really hit home. A recent episode that significantly impacted me. I know it was completely created for me to put pieces of my life together, but I mulled on it for a week before taking the time to attempt to convey via email the impact it had on me. So you don't get the same feedback in the digital world that you do from live audiences, but you are reaching us. Thank you. She also, by the way, says, I'm impressed that you bought a Bible. And thank you again for all you do. Your incredible insight and communication methods are so appreciated. So how about that? A little piece of warm feedback there from Barbie.
Yep.
And then we also had an email from Sarah that all of us this past week have been trying to address. I promise I'd bring it up with you too. She wrote to us about three different healing modalities that she is interested in and is exploring and is looking for any information that any of us would be willing to share with her about. And so, some of us knew about some of them, about others, all that kind of thing. And I wanted to share them with you and see what you knew about them. I know you know about one of them for sure. I think you probably know about all three of them. But anyway, the first one is sound healing with or without tuning forks. The second one is cranial sacral therapy. And the third one is access bars. So the question is, what do you know about any or all of those?
Well, did she ask this once before about access bars and wanting us to do a show on it? And I said, I wouldn't really want to do a whole show on it. I got that from somebody.
We got something about access consciousness. Was it about access bars too?
Access bars is part of access consciousness.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've talked about access consciousness and bars here and there throughout many of our shows.
Right.
So cranial sacral therapy, I know of it. I've never studied it. And sound healing, the same thing. And there's probably, I would say, even different ways of doing sound healing depending on who the teacher is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I can speak to access bars, but I think with all healing modalities, I mean, the way it's worked for me is I've been drawn to something and then I have to do it.
Ah.
Right? So, I mean, there's so many modalities, and you know what? You can be trying to learn every one of them over and over and over again. I mean, another one. Like, I've done so many of the Theta healing courses, many of them, and I got good stuff from all of that, but I can't say that I always use it. So I guess my point of this is you can know so many modalities. At least the way it works for me is I don't do any of them by the book. I do it however it wants to flow when I'm in the moment with my client. So I pretty much have source, spirit, whatever you want to call that, my guides, higher self, God, in whatever it is that's flowing. I don't put a label on it. It's just this energy flows and information comes. And it will come to me in a way that I can, I guess then my brain probably kicks in like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do this. None of it I can say I do by the book. Like, my teachers probably wouldn't even like me.
You rebel, you.
Yeah. So they're like there's parts of everything that I've ever learned, you know, like Reiki, like to me, Reiki's always flowing. Everybody's flowing Reiki. I really don't think you have to be initiated into it, although I was, because that energy was flowing to me before I even took the class. As soon as I put the thought in my head, I didn't even know what it was, but I'm like, Reiki, something made me have to find out about it, right?
Oh, okay.
And I knew the woman who was teaching it because she was part of the coaching academy, the Law of Attraction Coaching Academy I was in.
Sure.
And I said to her, I don't know why. I don't even know what this is. Like, I didn't even know what it was. Reiki. Like, everybody knows what Reiki is, right? And I said, but I feel like I have to do this. And she's like, listen, you're perfect for it. If it's calling you, just come and take the class. I said, but I got to ask you, since I've decided to do this, I feel like something bubbling in my hands. Like, I couldn't even describe. She goes, the energy is already flowing through you. You'll love this course. I'm like, okay. So I took it. It was already coming through before I started the course. I teach kids. I was doing kids' meditation class, and I'm teaching them how to pull the energy in through their hands. Now, I'm not teaching them all the different symbols you can use and all of that stuff and different combinations of symbols. Like, I just don't do it that way anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So okay. I did in the very beginning. So I guess maybe it's taken me a lot of words to kind of say, you got to go with what you're drawn to. Like, whatever I say or whatever anyone else you spoke to about this whole week about any one of these three, what if everybody said, oh, you got to do sound healing? We all say you got to do sound healing. Everybody on LOA today says do sound healing. That's the one I'm going to do. No, you got to do the one that calls to you. So you can take little bits of information, and as you hear the information, you might be drawn more to one or the other, right? So you can do that just by going to every single website that's teaching the stuff and see, as you read through it, if you're being called to it, if something's, because for me, every time, it's like I couldn't not do it.
I know what you mean.
I had to find a way to do it. I couldn't not do it. I didn't even know what it was about. The way the gate came to me was when I was giving Reiki to someone. She told me that. Giving her Reiki. She told me about this person coming from Israel who's going to be teaching this class, this woman that the acupuncturist is bringing him in. And like, she said the words, the gate. And I was like, well, but what is it? I have to do it. I just knew I had to do it. I didn't know what it was about. I said, what's it about? She goes, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Real strong sales pitch there.
you got to call this woman, you know? And so I'll just say this story just because it drives the point home, I think. So she's telling me that. And she says, there's this acupuncture. Her name is Moor Baliban. And she's in Creskill or Closter. And you can contact her and find out about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. The very next day, my husband says, I was just talking to John Nicolai. He told me that I should go and check out this acupuncturist because he has something going on. Her name's Moor Baliban. I said, what? Okay.
Love it.
That's why I have to do it, right? You'll just know. And in fact,
That wasn't even slightly unclear, was it? I mean, that was just like ramming it right through your, between your eyes. I mean, you couldn't have missed that one.
And to take it even further, I had my husband come with me into New York City, because this thing was at night and I didn't want to drive home alone and find parking, all that. So I'm like,
sure.
I'm like, you like this kind of stuff. Why don't you just come with me? He came, we both signed up.
Cool.
Right? My husband signed up. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do what I do. He doesn't do it, but he knows how to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But I can speak specifically to Access Bars, and Access Bars is a part of Access Consciousness. It's like the first step to getting into Access Consciousness. Anybody can do. They have different levels of things, and you have to take a bars course before you can go into one of their higher level things, but they're teaching stuff through video all over the place. You can search for Access Consciousness, Access Bars, and you get tons of stuff where people are doing all kinds of clearings and things for you through the video. And that's how I found out about it, because my husband was watching some of this. He goes, I can't believe how much energy I feel that's lifting as I'm listening to these videos about Access Consciousness.
Wow.
He's like, you really have to check into this stuff. And I kind of like, yeah, all right, whatever. I don't even pay attention to him. But then I don't know how, but something came to me with Access Consciousness. I'm like, okay, let me take a look at this. It's coming back to me, you know?
Right.
Same thing with Theta Healing. It came to me a couple of times before I heard it in a new way. I'm like, oh my God, I have to do that. I don't know why I didn't do it 2 years ago, but I have to learn it now. And then I did, right? So anyway, Access Bars is something that at this moment anyway, you can only do in person with somebody. And so what we do is we touch different points on your head, and all of the points have to do with a different area of life, the body, energy. And it's like, you touch, say I'm touching, any of these particular points on the head. It's like you're, it's like it's deleting. They refer to it as like defragging your computer. It's like getting rid of all the stuff that you don't need. Okay, mm-hmm. But you have to do it with touch. I think it can probably be done without touch because everything can. Although Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, he channeled this information. He says, no, this is a hands-on thing. You have to have the interaction. You have to be able to receive from another person by the physical touch. So you touch different parts of the head. Now, we've talked about before how I say, you know, pull in energy through your head, your hands, your feet. Well, that's like an Access Consciousness thing. So before you start Access Bars, we do that. We pull energy. You know, you put your hand, they call this the power band here, and then on the third eye. And you're just going to pull energy in through the feet, up and out through the head, and into my arms, up and out through my head, right? We touch the feet. And you can do it from the head, but you can also go to the feet, and you put your fingers underneath the balls of the feet, and you're drawing energy from the head into the feet, up and out through my arms, my head, out through the, you know, so we just open these energy flows. And we do your hands. You know, we have the touch the hands like this, right? Mm-hmm. Middle finger to palm. So I'll have middle finger to palm with each person. And we'll pull in the energy in through their head, through their arms, into my arms, out through my head. So we're just opening up all these energy flows, right? Getting into that space. And it's very relaxing. And then we start touching the different points. So I'm not going to teach the different points because it's like most people wouldn't even care, right? But if you're interested in it, you could find out about it. But basically, you know, there's one where it's... you know, kindness, gratitude, peace and calm, you know, and so there, anything that would be in the way of that, like that's all, it's addressing anything to do with those things, right? Sexuality and body, there's healing points, there's joy and sadness. I mean, there's like all these different points that are addressed, but only by touching the head. But what I love about Access Bars is there's one particular bunch of points that you touch. And when you do that, it is making it so that all that was released cannot come back in. It's like closing the door to those programs, or I don't know how they exactly explain it. I don't remember. But basically what I got from it, it's like, it's the only healing modality I ever had where they, you do one process where it, so that that stuff cannot re-enter.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right?
It is. Yeah.
Now, the way it feels, I know, because when you take an Access Bars class, you do it in person. It's like an 8-hour day thing, and you get certified right there. Like you take the course, you can go out and start doing it with people. If you want to teach it, you need to take the course 3 times within a year from 3 different teachers if you want to become a teacher of it yourself, right? So, and in the course, it's like $350, I think, for the course. Mm-hmm. And during the course, you give 2 sessions and you get 2 sessions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I give an Access Bars session, that's $200. So say that would be $400 of sessions I'm getting. And I pay $350 to learn how to do the whole thing. So it's a no-brainer if you're interested in it to just do it. Because if anything, you can do it for your, you don't have to do it. A lot of people that do it, they don't even do it for like a business. They're not like intending to be a healer. Sure. But they want to do it for their family and for, you know, that whatever, however much they want to expand themselves out into that, right? Now, my husband's taken the course, this one too. Like, listen, you got to take this so you can do it to me, okay?
He's your recruiter.
But what I'm trying to say is the first time I had the bars run for me, I mean, I don't know where I went. I went somewhere else. And then they brought me back. Like, it's so calming. And anything that happened, like I remember giving my son bars, and he's like out, he's out. But his whole body, boom, like jumped up from, it was on the bed, and I was at the corner of the bed doing it to his head. His whole body went boom, just like jumped up, and it woke him up. He's like, "What happened?" I'm like, "You just let go of something." You might have twitching, you know, like my husband one time, he started. Most modalities I do with my husband, when he's releasing stuff, his whole body starts twitching until it releases and then it calms again.
Wow. And
people have all different kinds of reactions to it.
Yeah.
For me, I think I can feel my body twitch a little bit, and you almost like start snorting like you're sleeping, but you're not sleeping. You're just so relaxed. It feels so good to have your bars run. You don't even know. You don't even know really what's leaving. You just know that you're different afterwards. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been plenty of people, and one of the co-founders, his name's Dane Heer. He has a great book, and I think I've shared it before here, which I can't think of it for some reason right now. I'll find it in a minute. But he was suicidal. And there are quite a few people that were really like suicidal, thinking, what's the point anymore? And then they saw an ad, and like the ad only said, all of life comes to you with ease, joy, and glory. That's like their tagline. Yeah. He's like, what the hell is this? All of life comes to you with ease, joy, and glory. You know, but something made him have to call the person. And he had the session, and he said, I've never felt so peaceful in my whole life. It changed my whole life. Then he got all involved with it. Right.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So there's a lot of stories like that. And sometimes you don't realize the effect that it has on you until a little while after. So that it's good to do kind of regularly. Mm-hmm. I've had people come in just specifically for bars and maybe having like this big problem that's going on. And I might do a few clearings for them before we get started, but mostly bars, you don't talk. You just run the bars.
Touch. Yeah.
They feel like a whole different person afterwards. Like, well, what was I even upset about in the first place?
Wow. Yeah.
So it's really a good thing. I really, really like it.
I'm confused about one thing. Why do they call it bars?
I think it's more like, because as you're touching the points, it's like it's making these connections. Maybe you could even see it like a rod or a bar or something like that. And it allows it to dissipate. At least that's my understanding of it. That's the way I took it to be.
Okay, that's cool. You mentioned a few things there that really grabbed my attention.
Yeah, bars could be like, hold on. It could even be because it's coming in my head. It could even be like, in music, aren't there bars? Like it's different frequencies, right? So it could also be I don't remember how they taught it, but it could also be it's just a frequency that you're connecting to and you're allowing this interaction to take place where the junky programming is being taken out and you're just receiving love. That's all healing. Every healing modality, ultimately, as you're releasing whatever it is, you're just filling up with love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the energy that everything.
That analogy of musical bars clicks in a specific way for me. Cause I mean, a musical bar is basically a measure in, written music. So one measure of music in like 4/4 time means 4 notes or 4 beats. In that measure. So if you're talking about bars in that sense, what we're really talking about is breaking the music up into these little segments that we call bars. And each of these bars, when you string them all together, that's what creates a melody or, a drum beat or something like that. So I get a better image of it when you describe it that way, because now I can imagine, okay, when you're running the bars, what you're really doing is you are doing segment by segment by segment, building this and opening this energy stream. And not allow the way you described before, I may be saying it wrong, not allowing back in the stuff that you were releasing. Okay, that I can start to make sense out of that. That actually, that has meaning for me. Whereas before the word bars was like, what am I going out
well,
to?
You know what?
My club
since
or something?
We're on it. Since we're on it.
Oh, you got your book out. Okay.
I mean, I have a couple of the books from the things that I have done with Access Bars here.
Yeah.
So I just picked it up right there. Anyway, so it says the purpose of bars is not to destroy this reality. The purpose of access is not to fight this reality. The purpose of access is not to see the wrongness of this reality. The purpose of access is to create a different reality. The purpose of access is to create a world as a greater set of choices and a greater set of possibilities so that all mankind can thrive. So that's, I guess, the purpose of access, this whole
thing.
Sure.
Okay.
And so, I might as well read this part and just see if it answers any of those questions.
Yeah.
It says, access is a set of tools and processes that are designed to facilitate more consciousness for everyone. Consciousness includes everything without judgment. Now, how many times we talk about no judgment on this show?
About every week, yeah.
It's the willingness and the capacity to be totally aware, totally present in all areas of your life. Consciousness is the ability to continually awaken to more possibility, more choice, more life. So it says the invitation of access is to help you acknowledge you as the infinite being you truly are and to step into generating a life beyond the you that you think you are, right? That's by getting rid of all the stuff that's been programmed within you, right?
Right.
An infinite, as an infinite being, you function from infinite perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving. As an infinite being, all things are possible all the time, and you have total choice. And the only thing that keeps you from knowing that is all the crap that you're holding on to. So as we touch the different bars, that it's just deleting, that stuff.
Yeah, very cool. I like that. Interesting, you know, too.
We also, the access consciousness clearing statement is, where am I with this now? I didn't plan on working on this stuff.
But yeah, that's okay.
It's that the POC and POD thing. I've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Point of creation, POC, P-O-C, point of destruction, right. POD. So it says, you know, it's like whatever this is that's creating this discomfort for me today, I now choose to uncreate and destroy all of it, right and wrong, good and bad, POD and POC, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And if you go to Access Consciousness, the clearing statement, oh, no, actually, they have a URL, theclearingstatement.com. It explains what each part of that clearing statement means. Now, I like that clearing statement because it encompasses so much stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go over each and every point of it. If you're interested at all, just go to theclearingstatement.com. Dane here gives a little video about it, and they tell you what all of that is.
That's cool. Yeah. I think we actually did go over it on a previous show too. Yeah. So yeah, a couple different ways to look at it, but that's good. That's really good. Some other things that came to my mind while you were explaining all that. And by the way, thanks for that explanation. First, there's a definite similarity between that and cranial sacral therapy, the way I understand it now from having other co-hosts explain what they were able to tell me about it. Because again, it's touching the head. I guess there are these particular points on the head that cranial sacral therapy does. So, I mean, a definite connection there, right? Both of them are using the head, which kind of reinforces the idea. There's a lot of stuff going on with the head that I guess I probably wasn't really aware of before.
You know what? There's a tiny bit more to this, what he wrote about this introduction. So I might as well read it, right?
Okay,
as far as we've gone this far, I might as well continue. So it says, as a finite being, the tendency is to function from thoughts, feelings, and emotions. It's a finite being, right?
Okay.
Access consciousness is about unlocking you from the polarity, imprisonment, conditioning, and limitations of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. When we're functioning from finiteness, we choose to have little choice and limited possibilities. Polarity keeps us from actually seeing things as they are so that we can't change what we would like to change. It keeps us functioning from the trauma and the drama, the upset and the intrigue of this reality. Our addiction to polarity is one of the strongest addictions that there is. One of the greatest tools to unlocking us from this addiction is to function from allowance. Allowance is where everything is just an interesting point of view. Now, I've done that talk on here many times, right? Which is, access consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So allowance lets us become aware of all the areas of our life where we're either aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting to any points of view, thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, judgments, conclusions, or considerations. So we can begin to set ourselves free by reminding ourselves that everything we think, feel, believe, judge, or have decided is just an interesting point of view. And let me, I'll finish this, then I'll want to talk about interesting point of view for a minute. Okay. Consciousness is the ability to be present in your life in every moment without judgment of you or anyone else. It is the ability to receive everything, rejecting nothing, and creating everything you desire in life, greater than what you currently have and more than what you can imagine. So, I mean, it kind of gets to being just in present time and experiencing in the moment your life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what if you were willing to nurture and care for you? What if you would open the door to being everything you've decided it is not possible to be?
Mm-hmm.
What would it take for you to realize how crucial you are to the possibilities of the world? So I don't know if anywhere he says exactly what the bar, why he calls it bars. It's probably mm-hmm. in here somewhere. I don't think I'm going to find it right now.
No, that's all right.
But it's connections. So maybe it's just like a rod, you know, because you're always touching with both hands those same points. Mm-hmm. And each thing has a meaning. So, and you could feel the energy. Like you could feel energy flowing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You could feel when the bars are really running. Mm-hmm. You know, you can sense mm-hmm. it and feel it. So there's a connection there and you're feeling the energy as it does whatever it's doing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But interesting point of view. I mean, so many times, and we touched on this again a little bit, I think a week ago or so. Because if you can look at something, yeah, we did it in a different way. So with access consciousness, you could look at some problem that's going on. And what if you were to say, well, that's an interesting point of view. It's an interesting point of view that I have that point of view. And like sometimes people come at you with something and they might really, like I had this happen with my mom one time and we talked about it on the show already. She said something and it triggered me and I was doing interesting point of view. She has that point of view. Interesting point of view. She has that point of view. And it wasn't clearing because usually you say it a few times and it's like the energy just goes. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, interesting point of view. I have a point of view that she has that point of view. So I started running that. I'm like, well, that's an interesting point of view that I hold this point of view that she has that point of view. I said that a few times and the energy just broke. And it's like,
really? Just by saying that. Yeah. Without even going into detail.
What I was missing
was
not only was it an interesting point of view that she has it, but I had an interesting point of view about her having that point of view.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Which is why I didn't release the trigger right away. You know?
Yeah.
And then I heard it another way from somebody else. I don't even know if he called whatever he calls his thing. I don't remember the guy's name, something I was watching recently. And he did a thing with interesting point of view. And I mentioned it last week where you can look at, say, a situation in your life that's happened, you know, because we carry this stuff with us. It's not even happening anymore, right? When you look back, so say you had so I had an engagement that broke off years ago. Mm-hmm. And if I was still hung up on that, I could say, and I'm not because I'm married to a great guy.
Yeah, good thing.
Cleared that long time ago. That one just didn't carry with me. But right. If it did, you would maybe be like, well, that's an interesting point of view. Like all of that trouble and that drama and this, it's very interesting point of view. Do I have to hold it? No.
Not really.
No. It's like, no. Like I like to say, talk to the ham, right? This old stuff comes up. It's old stuff. Why still hold on to it? Why do you want to keep the story? And you know, a lot of people like that. They'll keep telling that same story over and over again every time you see them, especially people who like to live in drama. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
All right. I know the story. Why are you still telling me again? Like, why are you living that story? is it happening right here today? What's going on in your life right here today? Is that any part of it? It doesn't have to be only because you keep pulling it back in.
I always thought it was fascinating, and I knew that I did it too. But anytime that somebody was telling the same story to me over and over again, and I would hear myself telling the same story to other people over and over again, and it was always a little piece of my mind that says, why the hell do you keep doing that?
Right.
Stop it. What are you getting out of that? And I would never have an answer for it. That alone wasn't enough.
That question's important, what you just said. What are you getting out of that? Because there's always a payoff. When people hold on to something, there's... Like, look at the hypochondriac. What's the payoff?
Well, that's where I was going. That's where I was going. Because it wasn't enough to actually just say, where's it going? I actually had to follow it. That's what I was trying to lead up to. I had to actually follow through and ask myself, okay, what is, like you said, what is that payoff? Where's the advantage for me? If I can identify what that advantage is, then all of a sudden that's kind of like what you were talking about with clearing stuff. It just kind of dissipates because when you bring it to the light of the day, it just seems somehow less important than it did before.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
If you're holding on to it, what is it doing for you that why you keep holding it? Do you need the sympathy? Is that the only way you think you can feel love from someone? Like there's always some kind of a payoff.
Yeah.
For it. That's true. Does it hold you back from being who you came here to be that you're too afraid to go and be? You know, like there's always some kind of a payoff.
Funny too, while you were talking about the releasing aspect and with the idea we have these limiting beliefs kind of tied into the polarity and that this is about finding that, like you said, the interesting point of view as a way to kind of distance and separate ourselves from that uncomfortable place, that uncomfortable energy. It reminded me so much of what David Strickle does with his Taya group. Because basically that's all about letting go of transgressors. That's essentially what you're talking about. You're talking about these little transgressors that occur in our lives. The parallel was interesting simply because the way he goes about doing it is quite different from the way you're doing it with this access consciousness. But it's essentially the same thing. It's just two different ways of describing it, which is really
cool. It's like that with everything. Like anything I come across and learn, or I'm listening to someone, I'm like, oh, good, I'm going to learn something from this guy on this talk. And I'm like, all right. I already do that. Give me something new.
Give me something new, right?
No, but the thing is, because it all boils down to the same thing. So that's why I don't ever focus on if I'm doing something right. Because my guides always tell me there's no right way. Find your own way and keep it simple. So to me, how can we simplify this? You know, like sometimes I won't use that whole access consciousness phrase. Because I don't need to. We can just uncreate and destroy and delete all of this, everything that's contributing to it, just by the decision to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, that's easier for some people to have a healer do it for them because they don't know they have that power for themselves to do it. They haven't gotten to that place yet.
Well, that's kind of built in. That's kind of built into the way the access consciousness thing is done, isn't it? I mean, the access bars, you have one person who's deliberately manipulating, for the lack of a better word, the head of somebody else. I mean, it requires that kind of connection with somebody else doing it for you. And it just struck me that that's like built into that method. Like they're almost intending, make sure somebody else is doing this for you.
Because they want you to learn how to receive. So when you're having, someone touching here, you're receiving from them. So it really teaches you to be able to receive, because that's a big problem. A lot of us don't want to receive all the abundance that's there for us.
Well, that's why it also made a lot of sense to me as you were describing that what we're talking about here is, you described the experience as this really pleasant experience. Like you were so relaxed afterward and, the whole energy vibe was so much better and so forth. That's all perfect for tying into, the kind of thing we were talking about last week, increasing self-love. If you want to learn to increase self-love, you have to feel the self-love. You have to feel the love in some way. You got to experience it so that you know, oh yeah, that's where I want to go. And that's what that does for you, among other things. I mean, that's the thought that comes to my mind is just by having that experience, it's almost like it turns your whole mind around to, oh, I want more of that. I want more of that. What can I do to give myself more of that? And just thinking that, now you're on the track of building self-love.
Yeah, and every healing modality, I'm sure there's millions I don't even know about. It's like it's an infinite universe, right?
Right.
They're all basically giving you love, and you're receiving it. Now, when you can receive it, then you can have the shift. Some people can't receive it yet. So,
Or they're relatively unpracticed in receiving it.
Yeah, or they've got programs that don't allow. Like I always clear any programs that would not allow you to receive healing energy. Off the bat,
Yeah, stuff that's been built up through prior trainings or experiences. Yeah,
who knows what programs and beliefs, it's evil, that have come through the ages, right?
Another thing that came to my mind too, you were describing how you get when you learn about one of these things, like when you learned about the access consciousness, you had a clue that came your way. And then a little later, another clue came that said the same thing, usually within like a day or two. And you realize, oh, okay. Yeah. I gotta do something with this. And what that reminded me of is the fact that with law of attraction, whenever we attract something, we don't attract it just once. We tend to attract it over and over and over again until we finally grasp it and do something with it. Or until the energy just kind of goes off in a different direction. But eventually, you either pay attention to it or you ignore it. But if you're paying any attention to it, you begin to realize, oh, I got that message before. In fact, I got it two or three times before. And that's a fairly common pattern that I think happens in life.
And that could be a positive thing or a negative thing because it's a law of attraction, right?
So
when the same thing keeps happening, then if you have the presence, the consciousness, awareness, to be like, okay, why does that keep happening to me? How am I contributing? Because we create everything. What am I doing to contribute to that?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big deal too. Let's see. Was something else too? My chicken scratch is not the easiest thing to read when I'm taking notes while listening to you. Well, I'm so enthralled in what you're talking about. I don't want to actually look at the paper. So I write it blind.
I do that in my healing sessions. A lot of times I can't even read what I wrote.
Oh, I know what. Yeah. The last line that I wrote was about you were talking about how we come here and we get trapped in the polarity. And I think actually, when we come here, we know we're going to be here for the polarity. So it's kind of part of the reason why we came here. But certainly we don't want to feel trapped by it. We don't want to feel like, oh God, I can't do anything because of this polarity. The idea that you were leading up to was you treated it as, oh, well, that's just an interesting point of view. And that's a way of kind of distancing ourselves from that thing and kind of separating ourselves from that trap, so to speak. But you also used a phrase in there, and the phrase I wanted to tie into a little bit here. The phrase, I don't remember what the exact wording is. I didn't chicken scratch it very well, but the gist of it was you start with these limiting beliefs and then you kind of expand out to a more unlimited viewpoint. And that's the part I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
the idea of stretching it out that way.
That was when he was talking about the difference between being a finite being and an infinite being.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. So as a finite being, so okay, polarity, good and bad, right and wrong, dark and light, you know, like the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it. Like it's always. But if you have no judgment, then you kind of soften that, right? So So when you're not stuck in it, having to be either this or that, why can't it be both?
Yeah.
And you just feel to the way – to what draws to you. Hopefully it goes to the better part.
Well, I mean, if you're paying attention to what you're really feeling inside, it will.
And that was totally non-judgmental comment.
Yeah, well, no, but I think there's validity there. The validity is in the recognition that when you feel what you feel in the way of, yes, I prefer this feeling. I like this feeling. That's where I want to go. That's your signal. That's how you know, okay,
absolutely,
this is something I do want to tie into.
Absolutely. And so that goes to another thing that Access always talks very much about is a truth will always make you feel lighter. How many times have I talked about that?
Oh, right. God, I don't
know.
50,000?
About stuff. I don't label it. Now I'm talking about gate. Now I'm talking about theta healing. Now I'm talking about Access. Sometimes I do say if it's Access, because Access, anybody, you can go online and learn all kinds of stuff for yourself. You can watch. Somebody might do a video on clearing money blocks and do all kinds of Access clearings. You just watch it and take part in it and agree to it. And you're doing it. You're getting done for you.
That's no different from listening to this podcast. I mean,
right.
We talk about that all the time, right? How people listen to this podcast, like you'll pull a card or something. And it almost always is tied in directly to what we're talking about. But as you point out over and over again, as Barbie mentioned in her email, it always also ties into something else, maybe multiple something else is going on among the people who are listening. Well, that means they're getting that benefit. And that's exactly what you're describing right now by saying, go and look at, you know, videos on Access Consciousness. Whatever they're doing in that video was for you. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to receive that message and it's going to resonate with you because it feels good. You like it. You know, it feels good to you.
Yeah. And sometimes you do hear the same thing over and over again, but you like, that's when I was saying, I listened to this other guy and he did this thing. And it was an interesting point of view. It was a little, it wasn't the Access Consciousness way, but I'm watching him. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Like I got something more out of it, even though in some way it was kind of the same thing, but it had a little different spin to it, like a different way of being able to hear it. So it's kind of like you get a fuller picture of something coming from two different sources, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. So this is cool. This is very cool stuff. I think I got all of my points brought out that I wanted to bring out. Well, I mentioned how we got through the law of attraction. We tend to get the same messages over and over again. But the other thing is you were talking about how you kind of go with what you're drawn to, right?
Yeah.
And when you go with what you're drawn to, that's also law of attraction. What you're essentially doing is you are going toward repeating the experiences that are feeling good. They felt good the last time. You're feeling it again, and you're just following through and following through and following through on the stuff that is drawing you, that's feeling good to you. That's basically building up a positive vortex.
Yeah.
And when you build up a positive vortex, that's when stuff happens. That's when life gets cool because you're focused on what you like. You feel good doing it. You're clearing stuff. You're becoming more of that unlimited being rather than limited being. You're doing the stuff. You're doing the work.
And I would add to that, which will be part of your talk somewhere.
Okay.
It's leading with your heart, right?
Yeah.
It's bypassing the mind and letting the heart, because the heart's going to lead you to what's true for you, what's right for you, you know? So, the heart, it's all about love, right? So the more you lead from your heart, that's how you're being self-loving to yourself. You're not having somebody else's voice outside of you maybe direct you as to what, it's like when everybody puts their shoulds on you, you know? They should on you. You should do this. You should, this needs to be done this way or whatever it is.
Right.
But if it doesn't feel right, like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't feel right, then why spend like 5 years doing that thing and coming on the other side of it and finally having the courage to say, this isn't for me. I should have listened to my heart. I should have followed what I really wanted to do. So maybe some people want to think it's a gut feeling. Yeah. But I would say look into your heart more.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, because the more that I was learning to make that connection, and that's, again, mostly that's over the last few years that I've trained myself to become more aware of that connection. I associate it with being mostly, yeah, heart and right below the heart. I mean, there's
solar plexus.
Solar plexus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's your center of will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then that makes sense. You know, and that's where I first noticed there was feeling, there was sensation, and it kind of surprised me the first time. It also thrilled me. Like it actually, you know what it did? It relieved me, because for the longest time I thought I wasn't getting anything, and that worried me. Like, why can't I get something? You know, why am I not getting a message? And I finally realized I was getting it.
You weren't aware of how you were getting it. Or sometimes you people say, I feel it in my bones. Like they just, it just doesn't matter how you describe it. You just know something. You just know it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to follow. You see, people might say, you know it, but that's your mind again. But no, you just want to, that's why I go to the heart. I'm like, okay, I just got to follow what really feels right for me. No matter, maybe I am making a mistake, but if it really feels right for me, I'll find that out.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if you do what I did for years, and that was go with the head over the heart, ignoring whatever the heart was telling me. And like you said, getting into a trap that lasted 5 years long, even that has benefit. It's a long time coming, but it has benefit, because you finally realize, well, I don't want to go that way anymore. I learned something big out of not, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this other way. And the other way is the one that's tied into what it feels like inside. So, okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I got a clear signal now. Now I know what to do with it.
And I was going to say that same thing, only on the kind of like a flip side, and that sometimes maybe your heart's going to lead you to what you think now was the wrong decision, but then you got to look at, but that's what led you to be able to see what the next decision is, right?
Yeah.
So I still think no matter what, it's always better to feel your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someone was drawn to marry someone and everybody told him they were wrong for you or whatever. And then it turns out they were wrong for you. But guess what? You have these two beautiful children that maybe you wouldn't have been able to have with whatever the next thing, you know what I mean? So sometimes that's where it gets tricky. It's like, if there's a purpose to all things, when the horrible stuff's happening, you're like, okay, I got to look at this. What was the purpose of this? Why did I go there? Did I go there because I just didn't trust my own intuition? I didn't listen to what I already knew? Okay, so you learned that lesson that way.
Right, yeah.
Or did I go there because it actually opened me up to see more of what the choices and possibilities could be or would be for me, that I couldn't see it from over there?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if I did go on that route, maybe it would have been quicker. Maybe it would have been twice as long. So it's like exactly. then the mind's trying to figure it out again. So I think that's why I like to just trust in what I feel. And you could always do the access consciousness. Does it feel light or does it feel heavy? Sometimes someone thinks they're following their heart, but it could feel heavy. So then it's not your truth. So you are the best person to figure out if it feels light, it's good.
There's actually a way of identifying which kind it is too. I think anyway. Now maybe you have a different experience to tell me about, but for me, because this is a question I was trying to iron out for the longest time, right? How do I know if that feeling that I'm getting is leading me towards something that's actually light, that's actually good, that I'm going to appreciate and feel great about having done it and so forth? And the answer that I finally realized is that it depends on what my predominant emotional state is when I'm feeling it. If my predominant emotional state, for instance, is that I'm really angry about something, chances are, I mean, I'm not going to say 100%, chances are that feeling that I'm getting in my heart is being in some way influenced by this anger that I'm feeling about whatever it is, X, right? And so it's going to be easier for me to tap into internally with feeling something heavy, something I would not normally have chosen simply because I'm in a negative place. I'm in a low vibe place. If I can switch myself over, find whatever modality, whatever method, process, anything, to get myself to climb up that scale a bit to a better feeling place and then check again, I'll get a different reading. I'll get a different feeling and I'll have a better sense as to whether or not it's low vibe, high vibe, heavy, light, whatever, simply because I feel better. I'm just in a better place.
Yeah. So one thing that stuck out for me, and because you said if you were angry about something. So for me, I know because I used to be because I'm not any longer. I used to be a little hot-headed Italian girl.
Okay.
Then I married my very level-headed English upbringing husband.
Okay.
He would be quiet. I'd be screaming. And because he wouldn't talk until he, sussed it all out and where I would just jump the gun. Now, I could see in my life where I've jumped the gun out of emotion and it was not really the best thing and I could have handled it much better, right? Mm-hmm. So as I've grown, now I know that if I feel that kind of this, it doesn't have to be anger, but there's something, this emotion driving me and I want to say something, I now will say, well, hold on a second. Let me just do something else for a little bit. See if I still feel the same way because right. I don't want to be reacting out of some stupid program that triggered me based on bullshit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Based on bullshit. It triggered me. Right. Mm-hmm. And just be like, oh, hold on a second. And then you can even look at it like an interesting point of view. Right. It's like, okay, let me just sit back and then look at it and see if I can look at it more like as interesting point of views and see which one actually does resonate and feel good and help find my direction that way.
Yeah.
But I wrote down something here. Oh yeah. Cause whatever you were saying earlier, well, let me just write what I wrote. The more you do it, the clearer your knowing becomes, right? So you were starting out saying in the past, you reacted a certain way or so like, how do you trust the feeling, right? The more you do it, the more you'll
Yeah, that was my big concern.
Yeah. We learn that. We have to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the only way to learn is to learn.
You say that to an angry person, they're like, yeah, well, I'm feeling like I'm going to hit you in the freaking face right now.
Exactly.
That's what I'm feeling.
Yep.
That's not really the kind of feeling you want to follow, right? So you just You got to get used to finding that trust and that communication within yourself. It's actually within your guidance to your truth, what you know to be your truth within you, right? So we didn't grow up looking at that first. We grew up having to look outside of us for everything. I think that's all changing now, especially as we're moving into higher energies.
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it in, I'm in a number of different groups on Facebook. I think a lot of people are. And some of them are law of attraction groups. Some of them are not. Some of them are just, completely different subject matters. It's amazing how often vibrationally related or law of attraction related stuff is coming up in conversation in the other groups by people who may not even know what law of attraction is, but they're uttering the phrasing. I was in a group about, it's a public speakers group. That's what it is. And somebody had asked me what I was doing, what my planned talk was about. And I explained them, the whole thing about building self-love. And in the middle of the conversation, the guy brought up Ho'oponopono. I was like, whoa, okay. Where'd that come from? and was there any context to bring that in? Not really. No, it just kind of came out of the thin blue sky, but it showed up. And that kind of thing happens
really
a lot.
Not really thin blue sky because it was energy merging together, right? That's a good example.
It is. Yeah, but I guess my point is I'm seeing a lot more of it happening in the outside, the nether regions, shall we call it, right?
Because we're all on this ride into these higher vibrations. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are like, I've been having these weird things happen to me, or especially when it comes to like telepathy and just knowing something that happened to me the other day. Oh, I just knew this, or I knew you were going to come. I'm like, yeah, it's happening to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's fun. It's fun. Now, I know part of that's law of attraction because I'm attracting that kind of thing into my life. But it's also fun just to see other people who I wouldn't have expected, you know, stuff like that coming out of their mouths. It's coming out of their mouths. Like, oh, yeah. This is really cool stuff. I like this.
Yeah. I like to say, well, how do you think you knew that?
Oh, that's a good phrase. Yeah.
Well, think about that. Yeah.
Interesting thing too.
All magical.
Because the guy I was speaking with, we were having this chat. He was really enthralled by what I was trying to do, which was great. It was, you know, good for my ego and so forth. But also he was trying to get some help for, I think it was his sister or a female friend or something. I can't remember exactly. And you know, so I was like giving some tidbits, perhaps that might be helpful. And when he brought up the Ho'oponopono, he said, you know, that's really the same thing. I said, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, usually that's used to, you know, send love to somebody else, but you know, it could go either way. He said, oh, I always use it for building self-love. I said, okay, you know, sounds good. Why not? Yeah. Which told me not only is the concept out there, but people are working with it. Now, it's not just, this isn't just something that's floating around. This is something that people are latching onto for whatever reason and using this stuff in their lives. So, I mean, cause it's one thing to have, you know, okay, you have this big energetic shift going on and, you know, everybody is going through this light shift and the energy of the planet is raising and so forth. Okay. That's all well and good. But if you're not using it, what's the point? And that's why I'm so excited. The guy wasn't just telling me about this other thing. He was using the Ho'oponopono and he was excited about using it and he was getting results from it and so forth.
Yeah.
That's what I was latching onto. I mean, yeah, it was cool that he mentioned Ho'oponopono, but what's even more cool is his experience was so positive. He was using it in a way that was really helpful to him. And I was kind of reminding him, well, no, teacher, sister or friend or whatever it is about it. Yeah.
So for people who don't know Ho'oponopono, you know, there's more to it, but it basically comes down to four phrases. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Right.
And you can just keep saying that. It doesn't have to be directed towards anything in your life, but just keep saying it. That's a clearing statement. Mm-hmm. I used to sometimes listen to it while I was sleeping. Love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And there's, you know, there's explanations with different levels of consciousness and associations between what the phrases are actually in, how they're interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to get some really easy, like really, I took the Joe Vitale has some Ho'oponopono courses. They cost like $39.
Yeah. He does
and
a whole
it's
thing
all
on
these
that.
Videos and it's really fascinating. He has a couple of them. You can just Google Joe Vitale Ho'oponopono and find out information to learn more about it. Cause it's really pretty cool. I use that. I use all sorts of things.
Mm. Yeah.
Because Ho'oponopono, you know, like Dr. What's his name again?
Dispenza?
Right now. The guy who came up with, he didn't come up with it, but he was using it in the psychiatric.
Oh.
Dr.
Yeah,
Hulen.
Dr. Yeah, what's his name?
Halakiel something Hulen. I can't remember his name. It'll come back. He would, the way he healed people in the psychiatric hospital, he didn't see any of them. He looked at their files, and he kept doing the clearing statement because everything's a reflection. So whatever, anything that's in this, about this horrific crimes that this guy performed, because it's in front of me right now, I must have that within me too. So he would do the clearings. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That's it. He would sit there with the files, do the clearings. Everything changed in the hospital.
Yeah, and that story is a powerful story in part because of the way I believe it got set up in his writing, which is that the hospital was, when he first got there, was in dreadful shape, absolutely horrible shape. I mean, they were losing money. They were just full of criminals. The criminals weren't improving. The staff were demoralized. Staff were quitting. Violence rates were up and so forth. And he just came in and did this for, I don't know what the period of time was, like a year or something like that. And the whole thing just turned around in that time period.
Yeah, I mean the paint was peeling off the walls in there.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, oh, yeah, literally it was falling apart.
Doctors were walking through the aisles with their back against the wall for fear of being hurt.
Being attacked.
But the whole thing changed. People were being let out. They wound up closing it down because everybody was doing well then after that.
Yeah, exactly. Which is amazing. That's the best part of the story right there, that literally everybody was able to go back to healthy, normal lives after that experience was done. It was like releasing not only for him, it was releasing for them. They all released. They probably didn't even know why they were releasing, but they were releasing. Yeah.
So I think the first book that he put out, Joe Vitale, is Zero Limits. And it describes if anybody's being drawn into what we're talking about right now with Ho'oponopono. And Ihaliakila Hulin. That's the name. I can't even say the first part.
You did it very well, though, I have to say.
I when I used to talk about this a lot, I could say it really easy. It's a tongue twister. You got to get used to it. Mm. But yeah.
Really cool. I like that.
What I wanted to say is, yeah, because what we're pointing out, what that's pointing out, even in this conversation, in your whole story right now about talking to this guy about in the group that you're in that has to do with public speaking, is that it's all the same stuff.
It is.
It all boils down to the same stuff, but in different ways of getting there. And thank God for the variety, right? Because some will be drawn. You know, like this girl who asked the question to begin with, maybe she's really more drawn to sound healing. So do that. You might find that 6 months, a year later, you're like, yeah, I think I'll do some cranial sacral now. Like there's no one way. Right. And you're going to want, once you learn one way, you're going to want to learn another way. I mean, that's like my experience has been. Something catches you.
I got the impression too, when she was asking about it, she was looking for information about all of them. But I kind of follow what you're saying here, and I agree with what you're saying. They all speak to her. Otherwise, she wouldn't have brought them up. So follow through on all of them. You know, don't just look for us to give you the information. Go find out, become the expert. Come onto the show and tell us what you learned after you became an expert on it. You know, is there anything that replaces? I don't think there is. There's nothing that replaces going out and just grabbing it yourself, not waiting for somebody to come bring it to you. Go get it. You know, a law of attraction doesn't require that it has to come to you. It can also involve you going and finding it. It can work both ways. So take advantage of it. Go for it.
Right.
I mean, the Access Consciousness site is loaded with all this material. It's just waiting for somebody to show up. Right. Well, go get it.
All of it. It's all out there.
Yeah.
For all of it. But the thing is, you're not going to probably do them all at the same time. Like I would definitely, you know, just go to the one that speaks the loudest to you and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make sure I get a couple of quick reminders in. First of all, a reminder that on the LOA Today app, not only do we have a number of processes and modalities on there for you to draw upon, Linda has her High Vibe Living course on there, and there's some other courses as well. There's also soon to be, I've made the decision, I'm going to take the book that we put together a few years ago, The Real Success Stories of the Law of Attraction. That's going to go on to the app pretty soon.
Oh, good.
Pretty soon. Now, I had to be careful when I said this with Dan yesterday. Pretty soon means not tomorrow or next week. It means sometime in the next few months it's going to happen. So I'm just kind of giving you an advance.
It'll get there.
It'll get there. Exactly. Yeah. But in the meantime, you want to get the app so that when it's there, it'll just update directly on the app. Also, please use the app to do like Barbie and Sophie. Was it Sophie? I can't remember who the second person was who sent in their questions or sent in their comments, actually. Send in your stuff too. I mean, we love getting this email and including it became the entire show today. Look at this, you know?
Yeah.
So take advantage of that. That's why we built that into the LOA Today app. And of course, be sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend because we want them to hear about it too. But this has been great as usual. I got to tell you, Lindy, when we came into this, I didn't think that we were going to go into this level of detail. I was trying to figure what do we do with the rest of the show? Didn't turn out that way.
But it's always like that. The show just has a mind of its own. You know, it just takes off.
It does. Yeah.
In fact, I responded to that person who gave the compliment over the Barbie.
Barbie, right.
And I think it was to her. And I'm like, you know, the shows just take off and they go wherever they're going to go.
They do.
We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I love it that way.
That's what makes it fun. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much. Appreciate all your inputs. And thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.